So last week, we were together last in Erev Tisha B'Av, and we had a chance at the time to think about Kirvas Elokim, and to think about the fact that as Rama began to describe, the Jews would reach out to Nevi'im about all sorts of things. And that among other things, remember Shaul speaks about Shaul. Shaul goes knocking on Shmuel's door. Shaul thinks that the reason why he was going knocking on Shmuel's door was to find his lost donkey. Little did he know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had very different plans in mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending him to Shmuel to become Melech Yisrael, which tells us a lot about the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was more involved in our lives than we usually realize. The ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has our best interest in mind more than we usually realize, and sometimes more than we do ourselves. And even on Shaul's side, it gives us a sense of the familiarity people had with Nevi'im. And that's the Rambam's overt point. It would seem totally normal. You lost your donkey, go ask a Navi. The Navi was a direct access to Ribbono Shel Olam, a direct channel. Go ask a Navi. Navi won't always have an answer for you. But there was this degree of Kirvas Elokim that is almost unthinkable for us. It also speaks to the Madrega of the Nevi'im. So that was what we had left off with as we headed into Tisha B'Av, sort of that the recognition of the sort of Kirvas Elokim that could be, what the potential is for closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which of course is a lot of what we mourn for over the course of Tisha. The loss of Mikdash is a loss of much more than the building, the loss of that sort of Kirvas Elokim. Appropriately, as we turn to Nechama, I want to see an interesting example of the way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends Tov towards us more than Ra. And it's here at the end of the bottom of page, Lamed Gimel. Because remember, the Rambam has been talking, and with this he's going to wrap up his discussion about how a Navi gets certified. You remember there were three pieces. It was the prescription, the person, and the prediction. Right? If the Navi is making a prescription that's halachically viable, he's not telling us speaking the name of Avodah Zarah, and he's not telling us to permanently change halacha or even temporarily worship Avodah Zarah. So then his prescription is plausible. Either it's just that we should do the right thing, or specifically that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to, on a temporary basis, violate the din. So the prescription is feasible and the person is eligible. He seems like the type of Gavra who could be a Navi in terms of his Madrega of Yerushamayim and Midos and wisdom and insight and intelligence and so on and so forth. Chacham Giba V'Yashir. So then we looked for his prediction. Give us a descriptive Nevuah. Tell us what's going to happen in the future in great detail, and let's see if it comes true with every single detail comprehensively, and let's see if that happens multiple times. And that at its core, after he passes the two eligibility tests in terms of prescription and person, it's the prediction, repeated, detailed, fully accurate predictions are the real tests. And now the Rambam says, I need to tell you one more thing, one more detail about this prediction process, about this litmus test, and it's actually going to get us to something that we know well about Nevuos, and it's going to answer Akasha and Chumash Bereishis. It's going to answer Akasha we might have about Yaakov Avinu. So here we go. V'nishar kan perek gadol shetzarech levaritz. There's one more segment, one perek, one segment of this that still needs to be explained. V'hu shahanavi im yiyaed ra'os of ne'adam shenis chayivu behem. Rambam says it's not always true that if a Navi makes a prediction and it turns out to be false, that we're going to fail him on his Nevuah certification test. There are some types of Nevuos that you might predict one thing and it doesn't happen. If the Navi comes and says that you people deserve something terrible to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, 40 days Nineveh is over. That was a Nevuah that Yonah HaNavi delivers to the Anshei Nineveh. Right at the beginning of Perek Gimel, Perek Alpha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu charged him to go to Nineveh, but he ran away. In Perek Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu charges him again, Sheinis, and this time he goes and he gives a Nevuah, And ultimately, as we know, Nineveh is not destroyed. Why? So he says, the Navi tells them that you're going to suffer by famine, you're going to suffer by war, the land will be overturned. Or some sort of terrible lightning storm. Or some other type of horrific situation. And ultimately, whatever negative thing he predicted doesn't come to pass. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead forgave them. And they continue to lead peaceful, stable lives, as was the case in Nineveh. Lo yisbarer mizeh kezav ha-navi. That does not indicate that the Navi necessarily was lying, meaning what he said didn't happen. But that doesn't prove that when he claimed to speak in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was making it up. The fact that Nineveh didn't get turned over doesn't tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told Yonah what Yonah told Nineveh. No. And therefore, Lo Yinavi Shekev is Chayav Misa. And therefore, there's no reason to treat him as a criminal Navi Shekev with the attendant capital punishment. Why? What that may well mean is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did indeed tell the Navi, Od Arboam Yom V'Nineveh Nefaches, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to take a different path after Sheshavu V'Saru Mechatasim. Perhaps because they did tshuva, as was the case with Anshei Nineveh, or Sheherech Lahem Hashem Misavanuso, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to extend an extra midah of rachmanus, an extra degree of savlanus, of patience. V'dacha pikudasam uzman acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to push off the pikuda, the pikida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to push off the punishment to some other point in time, some later date. K'mo she'asem achav. The nefarious, the infamous King Achav is told by Elio, Lo avi hara b'yamav, b'may b'no avi hara b'yisav. It was pushed off because the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to exercise extra patience, O shemochelem b'glaz zuchuyos kodmos, or Kadosh Baruch Hu was mochel not because of their tshuva, but because of other mitzvahs that they did. So he says, look, in other words, what the Rambam is saying is that negative nevuahs don't always come true. That's not what the Chumash means when it tells us, oh, the Navi said something that didn't come to be, he must be Navi Sheker. So one second. If we're saying that the Navi might say something bad will happen, the end doesn't happen, well, we're not sure, was the Navi lying or was he telling the truth, but they did tshuva, let's say. So what's your practical problem now? Give me a simple practical problem. Yeah, Yonatan? Yeah, so now we're stuck again. How are we going to verify an Avi? He'll come and say, make a prediction, and then if it comes to pass 100%, great. But if not, we're like, well, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed, you know, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to extend extra rachmanis, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, pulled back because they did tshuva. So how is the nevuah ever falsifiable? How is nevuah ever falsifiable? So Ram says, if he predicted something positive, Shalom yeh b'shana zu. It's going to be a peaceful year. But in the end, v'tiyah milchama. In the end, there was war. Osh yomar zu ashana te gshumu v'rucha. He says, this year will be full of rain. V'tiyah shnas barav batzoros. Instead, it turns out to be a year of famine. V'chayotzeba b'zeh. Or something else along those lines. If a Navi would have told us, last Rosh Hashanah, someone claiming to be a Navi, would have told us last Matzah Yom Kippur, I just got a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided this upcoming year, Tavshin Pei, will be a year of great health worldwide. And then it turns out not to have been the case. This was not a year of remarkable health worldwide. So then, Hareu Navi Sheker, if he made a positive prediction, that's the difference. If he made a positive prediction, he is Navi Sheker. Kvar hisbarer b'tul tana so ksavo. A positive nevuah not happening, that does show that he was making up. He's just a faker. That's the type of person we say he's lying. He claims that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him. Clearly, Ribbono Shel Olam didn't. He claims that God told him a positive nevuah, but it didn't happen. Then he must be a Navi Sheker. Lo sagur mimenu, don't be afraid of him. Min alei afchiducha v'ayartiyucha mil hamiso emunaso v'tuva v'chachmaso. You need to punish him as a criminal, as a Navi Sheker, despite the fact that he seems like such a wonderful person in other ways. He seems like such a good person and a smart person. He seemed like he are a Shamayim. Yes, but ho'e eiz leton davar chamur. He claimed to be a Navi. He made up such that's a very, very severe crime. Medibur Sar al Hashem. Why? If Hashem Ya'ed bin Adam Batova al Navi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells someone via a Navi that he or she will be granted some sort of divine goodness, E Afshar Shlo Yasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never backtrack a positive nevuah delivered to someone. Why? He could backtrack a negative nevuah because, let's say, we said before, the person could do tshuva. So, why wouldn't it make sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu would backtrack a positive nevuah? He deserved it. But then afterwards, he became a Rosh Marusha. He has the fellow has Bechir Chafshis. After the nevuah was given, see, he got cocky, and he got, he became complacent, and he fell into the traps of the Eight Sahara. So why can't it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu would backtrack a positive nevuah too? Yonatan answered with the next word in the Rambam. One word. The last word on the line. What's that word? Kidei. In order that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told us that he will not backtrack from a positive nevuah that was shared with other people. Kidei sheyikayem yisaled nevuah asama yitzel b'nei adam. In order that you can have nevuah for certification. There has to be, in other words, there has to be some type of nevuah that's locked in. If every type of nevuah was changeable, and depending on how you act subsequently, things may be adjusted, well, that would make sense in principle. That would accord with divine justice. At a certain point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he plans to do X, and if a pig, he gives us Bechir Chafshis. We made good decisions, we made bad decisions. It would make sense. But then there will be no way to certify Navi. And that's why the Rambam says, Gemara Brachas, Kol davar sheyotzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Latova, afilo al tanai eino chozer. The Gemara has this rule, that a nevuah Latova is never chozeres. A nevuah Lara might be chozeres. If it was a negative nevuah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu might walk it back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might have it change, and not fulfill that nevuah if you use your Bechir Chafshis well. If you use your Bechir Chafshis poorly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never backtrack a positive nevuah. It would have made sense they would backtrack a positive nevuah, but it needs to be something that's for sure that allows the certification process. He said, Kedei, the reason why, so that there could be a certification of a Navi, which is fascinating. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen the other way also, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Matzah Klapei Chesed. There's going to be one type of nevuah that he's going to choose that's going to be locked in. Let it be the good nevuah. Why should the bad nevuahs be locked in? Kadosh Baruch Hu mata klapi chesed. He extends more rachmanis. We do tshuva. He's willing to backtrack the bad nevuahs. The good nevuahs are locked in. Once it's given, you are locked. It will happen even if we no longer deserve it. Yoni Panich, question. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Are there rules and regulations about when a Navi gives a prediction that's meant for testing purposes, how soon? How soon does that have to happen? I don't know. As far as I know, the Rambam never quotes, and the Rambam is the one who talks about this more than most, a rule about that. Again, in other words, if the fellow is an honest Navi, he also might even wait for years to get a Navua that he could give as a predictive nevuah, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nevi'im don't choose. One of the differences Rambam talks about between the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the nevuah of other Nevi'im, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to initiate nevuah in a way that other Nevi'im could not. So you wait. The Navi might wait for years. There's years of work on my part, Bechir Chafshis' work, to build myself, years and decades of building myself into the type of Jew who's eligible to Nevuah. But then after that, it's a Tchilas Avodah B'Sof HaGmul. I do the work to raise myself to that Madrega of Kedusha. But then when the Nevuah comes, it comes. And which Nevuah comes, we'll see. Now, in terms of the Nevuah, so again, so we see here right away, a Nevuah L'Rab might not always work to certify me. I mean, it might, if it happens, comes true in full detail, so it'll work to certify me, but it might not be helpful. But you might get Nevuah L'Tova, you're right. Right? If Nevuah is over the next 7 years, X, Y, Z will happen in a Hanami. So it'll take 7 years for me to be certified as a Navi. As Rama is going to say soon, until that certification kicks in, he already said he's going to say again soon, until that certification kicks in, no one is mechuyev to listen to me. Once the certification is complete, then, okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide how quickly the Navi will be certified. And maybe never. It could be some Navim talking against Nevuah, but could never prove to anyone else that they got the Nevuah. Gemara Megillah talks about, and many of you I'm sure have seen this Gemara, over the course of the 1,000 years of Jewish Nevuah, from Moshe to Malachi, the number of Nevi'im were Pishnaim ki yotzei Mitzrayim. Double the number of adult men who left Mitzrayim. Over 1.2 million Nevi'im over the course of the 1,000 years of Jewish Nevuah, from Moshe, Matan Torah, to Malachi at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. Again, there's some discussion in this forum whether that's meant literally or that's a figure of speech, but there was certainly a tremendous number of Nevi'im, and the Gemara's point there is only a tiny fraction of them have any of their Nevuahs recorded in the Tanakh. So could it be that many of those Nevi'im, so the Gemara says most of the Nevi'im gave Nevuahs that were relevant for that Dar, but were not relevant for all generations, that's why they weren't recorded in the Tanakh, which is, as an aside, a critically important methodological tool in learning Tanakh, that Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalad, that Nevuah Shehutzrachar L'Doros Nichtava, or Nevuah Shehutzrachar L'Doros Lo Nichtava, the only Nevuahs that are recorded in Tanakh are those which are Hutzrachar L'Doros, have eternal significance. It's such an important rule that the Rabag, as a matter of fact, if you ever use Rabag in his Peirush on Tanakh, he actually is very forward about this. After every section, every parak, every couple of parak, he'll stop and say, okay, so what are all the useful lessons that what have we learned from the last couple of parak? What are the to'alios? How does the last few prakim, how do they impact us? What is the tzorech l'doros? But so there are many of the vast majority of them, we've never heard their names, we've never heard their words. Probably most of them were certified. They were relevant at the time, but not relevant for us. It could be there were many Nevi'im over history that were not certified. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Navi, but it could be no one else was ever mechuyev listened to him. In truth, he was a Navi, but he never proved it. Okay, it's certainly possible. I say that if the only Nevuah I get is about what's going to happen over the next 1,000 years, so it may be no other human being will ever be certain that I am a Navi, even though the truth is I am. That's definitely possible. Now the Rambam also uses this to answer Akasha. Akasha on a Gemara, and we'll close our Limud Rambam for this morning with this. A question, Yonatan. Yes, you're asking in terms of how what sort of content does the Nevuah have to contain in order to be viable for testing? Remember, that's what Rambam had stressed before. It needs to be given in vivid, exquisite detail. It can't just be there's going to be a terrible storm tomorrow. It might be it'll be a terrible storm tomorrow in this area, and 26 houses will be damaged. 157 windows in this town will be broken by tomorrow's storm. No meteorologist, the most sophisticated meteorological model, can't tell you with precision the number of windows that will be shattered. And you'll remember also, Ramat said earlier, not only does it have to be given with Nevuah has to involve a lot of vivid detail. All those details are recorded, and every single detail needs to be verified. But this has to be this has to be iterated multiple times. There has to be a series of highly detailed nevuos that each come true with all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. So that, but I think that's why that serves to avoid any, like what you described, the Kaneki Yankee King Arthur's Court type of situation, where, you know, I know something that other people don't, and I make it look very impressive, and I so there. No, it can't just be there's going to be a big storm tomorrow. It can't just be there's going to be an eclipse. It needs to be more than that. Now the Rambam said, let's close with this. So the Rambam is not the first to raise a question, the following question. The rule we just mentioned is a Gemara. That Nevuah L'Tova is not Choseris, but Nevuah L'Ra is Choseris. And Nevuah L'Ra might in the end not happen because they did Tshuva, or the Rambam said maybe other reasons why Nevuah L'Ra might end up not occurring. But Nevuah L'Tova is Al Kol Panim. It's not Al HaTanayim. And the problem is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu comes back to Eretz Yisrael. And he's frightened. Why is he frightened? Avozesh Yaakov Pacha. Yaakov was scared. Hashem cried Yadu B'tova. Before he left Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a nevuah. Etc. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you while you're in Golis. I'm going to bring you back whole and healthy to your father's home. Beferish. And yet, Mitzanu Shiyari Pen Yamos. And yet, when he returns to Eretz Yisrael, he's not yet back with Yitzhak Avinu. But Yir Yaakov Mon Vayetzer Lo. He's very frightened. He's very frightened. Why is he frightened? He had nevuah. He had a nevuah. Why is he frightened? Amru Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Shehu Yare. Why was he frightened? Yare Mikoch Avon Shiz Chayiv Bo Misa. He was worried, but maybe I sinned. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu 2 decades ago promised me that he'll take care of me. Maybe then I was a tzaddik. But now I've been living outside of Eretz Yisrael. I've been living in Beis Levon. Life has gone on. And maybe in the intervening years, I've made terrible missteps, I've made terrible chatam, and I no longer deserve the divine protection I once did. That's what the Gemara says. Kosavar, Yaakov thought, Shema Yigro Machet. Maybe Chet will, maybe I've done chatam. It tells you in the Bible, that's also Gemara in the first paragraph of Brachos. All these Gemaras, you know, from Dav Zayin to Dav Dalet. So how do you reconcile these two Gemaras? They seem to be at odds with each other. On the one hand, the Gemara says, Nevuah L'Tova is absolute. Nevuah L'Ra depends on your Bechir Chavshis. You could turn around the Nevuah L'Ra. You could neutralize Nevuah L'Ra as Anshe Nineveh did. But Nevuah L'Tova, the Gemara says, absolute. What do you mean absolute? The Gemara just said, V'yir Yaakov Mor V'yetzer Lo, Kosav Hashem Yigro Machet. He was worried that maybe he sinned. So what if he sinned? I mean, don't take that out of context. If he sinned, that's terrible, and you've got to do tshuva. But why would his, even if it's true that he had sinned, why would that have impacted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise? He got a Nevuah L'Tova. Nevuah L'Tova is not Choseh. But the Gemara says earlier, Daf Dalet is. Yaakovin was worried. It was Nevuah L'Tova, maybe I no longer deserve it. Make up your mind. Is Nevuah L'Tova absolute or is it not absolute? Now that's a kash that predates the Rambam. But the Rambam says, now that I put that first Gemara into context, I have an elegant solution to this kasha. Because it all goes back to that kidei of the Rambam. Why is it Nevuah L'Tova is not Choser? Rambam says, look, fundamentally, all the Nevuahs should be Choseros. In Nevuah L'Ra, but you did Tshuva, okay, so the Nevuah L'Ra will be canceled, neutralized. So the same should be true of Nevuah L'Tova. Well, what Yaakov Avinu said makes perfect sense. Shem Yigam Achet. Yaakov Bo told me that I'm going to enjoy certain goodness, but if I used my Bechira Chavshis poorly, I did Chatam. Fundamentally, Nevuah Tova should also be Choser. The reason why it's not is Kidei. The reason why there's a special exception, the rule is that Nevuah L'Ra is Choser. The exception is Nevuah Tova is not Choser in order to enable certification of Nevi'im. So he says, yeah, what's the difference? You know what's special about Yaakov's Nevuah? And in truth, if you go back to the way that he phrased it before, he had said, Hashem im yia'ed b'nei Adam b'tova adei Navi, yev shaliyaseh. If Hashem told other people through the Navi that good things would happen to them, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to back off. Says the Rambam, there's a world of difference between Nevuah for you and Nevuah that you're meant to deliver to others. Dasha zel nam yia b'masha b'nei Hashem u'b'nei Hanavi. Yaakov Avinu's Nevuah was not meant to be shared with anyone else. It was just a private communication between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. Ah. But Sheyomar Hashem, so then, why not? Nevuah L'tov, Nevuah L'ra, could all be Chozer. Sheyomar Hashem, this whole rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't back off from a good Nevuah, it's only Sheyomar Hashem L'Navi Sheyayid B'nei Adam L'tov V'Muchletes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Navi tell other people, once it's communicated, it can't be that it won't be miskayim, because otherwise lo nishar makom la'amas bo hanavua. V'hu kvar nasan le'b'torah so ikar shehu yibachin b'tzedek Yudah. Hashem told us in the Chumash that there will be a way to know whether indeed Hashem is speaking to us through this Navi or not. So this exception, the Navua al-Latova, is never chozer. That's only a Navua that was meant to be shared with other people. Because the point of Nevuah Tovei Nechozer is to allow for this type of certification. Ah, Yaakov Avinu was a different type of Nevuah. Yaakov Avinu was just meant for him, so then this exceptional rule doesn't apply. That speaks to also, by the way, going back to what we were talking about before, you get the impression that like two different types of Nevuah experiences. That's sort of what's peeking out here. Rambam told us he's not going to get too deep into this. Remember, he had said, I really ought to, you can really write a whole sefer about this. But that's fascinating. Not only did we already see before, Nevuah could be prescriptive or descriptive. Nevuah sometimes is instructions, here's what you need to do. And sometimes it's just descriptive, just describing what the future holds. There also, Nevuah could be for others or could be for you. Nevuahs aren't always messages to other people. Sometimes Nevuah is just HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. Spiritual enlightenment. And that sort of captured the idea from before, that the Nevuah is an outgrowth or response to a Jew reaching an extraordinary level of spiritual development, an extraordinarily high rung on the ladder of growth of a Jew towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mesillas Sharm's ladder, you get to the top. So you're creating intense kivus elokim. You're catalyzing intense kivus elokim. That may result in HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a message to tell other people, or may just be you personally communing with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are two significantly different types of experiences, it sounds like. Navi is sometimes understood to relate to the word niv sfasayim. It has to do with the lips. Right? There are two types of nevuah. So the nevuah is meant to be spoken. Nevuah is just inside your own head, just between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, a private nevuah. And so those are fundamentally different. Well, we'll see tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll wrap up the Rambam's discussion about Nevuah. He's going to put Nevuah, now that we've discussed thoroughly the certification process, he's going to put the essence of Nevuah, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow, fully into a halachic context, what it does do and what it doesn't do. And then B'li Neder, the rest of the week, we'll come back to the core discussion of halacha. And we'll talk about some more about the different parts of Torah Shel Peh and where Machlokas comes from. Yeah, question. Yeah, see, you're asking a good question. You're saying maybe there's another reason why Nevuah Tovah is not Chozeres, and maybe that reason is, if I did a mitzvah, I did an aver, they don't cancel each other out. I did a mitzvah, I hold on to that mitzvah. If I did an aver afterwards, I'll be punished for the aver, but it doesn't neutralize the mitzvah. Yeah, it's a good question. Well, number one, the Rambam, adopting the reason the Rambam did, which is that fundamentally the Nevuah Tovah should be Chozeres, so that's supported by the evidence from Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov was worried that the Nevuah Tovah would be Chozeres. Baruch Hashem was not. From Yaakov Avinu's perspective, had he done Chataim, they could have undone the Nevuah Tovah. So number one, the Rambam's approach answers the kasha. More fundamentally, the Rambam's approach is supported by that evidence. You see from Yaakov that Nevuah Tova could be undone by subsequent chet. Now, in terms of your point about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the account separate, now the truth is, the Rambam actually spoke to that earlier when he was talking about why Nevuah Lera might be undone. He had given three different possible explanations. Either I did tshuva, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu just decided Erech HaPayim, he'll give me more opportunities to do tshuva. Or Rama had said, number three, maybe I did mitzvahs. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was soleach because of Masim Tovim that I did. The truth of the Rama does seem to talk about that sort of outweighing. And the truth is, logically, it makes sense it ought to be the case that I might have a schus that it's no longer appropriate for me to suffer this negative because I'm going to have an out counterbalancing schus. And that could go in both directions. That could also go in terms of nevuah l'tova. But now that I've done a chet, it's no longer warranted that I enjoy a certain tova. Now, you are, though, making an important point, nevertheless, one which the Mesillas Yesharim speaks about at some length, I believe in the fourth parak, I don't remember for sure. Quotes a Gemara in Nedarim. This is the following 2 minutes are among the most important practical hashkafa out there in terms of the internal grappling that goes on within us on an annual, monthly, daily basis, responding to some of the Yetzirah's internal talk in our heads. Mesillas Yesharim quotes the Gemara in Nedarim, I believe it is. It's a very severe problem to say that God is a vatran. He just lets things slide. What do you mean? We thought he does. So Mesillas Yesharim says, no, if I do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to accept Akiras HaRatzon, Akiras HaMasa. I undid my desire to have done the chet, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to equate that to undoing the act. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give me more time to do tshuva, more time to change, more time to improve. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just write it off. Things don't just disappear. You made actions, you took action, there are consequences to your action. L'tov and l'ra. And part of what that means is the following very important point. One of the most common destructive and false messages you get in your head from the Yetzer Hara is, what's the point of doing the following mitzvah? Come on, I know you did XYZ Avera last night. Oh, now you're going to be such a big tzaddik. Oh, now we're getting up early to make on time to meet you. Come on, I know what you were too busy with last night. It wasn't so kosher. It wasn't so holy. Ugh, come on. Don't be a faker. Don't bother coming early to shul today. Come on, I know what you did last night. Says the Yetzer Hara in one's own head. Now, if that sounds familiar, hey, I heard that last night. I heard that last week. This is very common. Very, very common. It's also wildly false. Just because you made one bad investment doesn't mean you should make five. If you accidentally hit a baseball through the next door neighbor's window, and now you're going to be out $200 or whatever it costs to have it replaced, that does not therefore mean, oh, I may as well knock out another four windows. Why? Because you want to pay $1,000? Oh, yeah. Buy four, get one free. That's still cheaper to just buy one. So that's obviously absurd. If one investment tanks but the others are doing well, I shouldn't therefore destroy those. So just because I did one chet doesn't mean I should compound it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does absolutely value our mitzvos, even if we all also have averus on our balance sheet, and vice versa. Just because I've done a lot of mitzvos lately doesn't therefore mean that I can get away with a couple of averus and it won't matter. Right? Every mitzvah counts. Every aver counts. Absolutely. And you are right in terms of that fundamental point. That's what I was saying. This concept is incredibly relevant, incredibly practical. Talk about practical hashkafa. Practical machshava. So it's not that doing a mitzvah will make my avera as though it didn't exist. It's not as though doing avera will make my mitzvahs as if they don't exist. But it is true in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, the sort of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me tomorrow, how good, how bad, how rough, so on and so forth, that will be the sum total of both mitzvahs that I did and averus that I did. In terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calculus of how pleasant will tomorrow be, again, it's how pleasant my life in Olam Hazeh is not only a result of my mitzvahs and averus. The Iker Schar is in Olam Haba. But to the extent that that plays a role, both mitzvahs and averus will play a role. So that's important to differentiate. Every mitzvah matters, every avera matters. One doesn't neutralize the other. Just because I've done averus doesn't mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about my mitzvahs going forward, chalila v'chas. But at the same time, in terms of the calculus of will I have a good day tomorrow, so both the mitzvahs and averus will play into that, and you know, sort of the net result may be different if I add more averus or if I add more mitzvahs. I think that's the answer. I think that's the answer to your question. So we came across Baruch Hashem today a number of very fundamental ideas. In terms of Chesed HaBorei, and in terms of Imus HaNevuah, in terms of recognizing Nevuah was something that was sometimes shared with other people, was sometimes just an experience, a spiritual uplifting experience between the Navi himself and the Ribbono Shel, and this very, very important idea that mitzvahs don't neutralize averus, and that averus don't neutralize mitzvahs.